have a word on my heart that I would like to share. And the message that I would like to share this morning is entitled, When Grace Meets Sinful Man. When Grace Meets Sinful Man. Lately, God has been speaking a lot to me through my three-year-old son. And the way he's been speaking to me through my three-year-old son, it's to understand in a deeper way the love of a father to his children. Not because they're perfect, even at 3 years old, but because he belongs to me and I belong to him. A few weeks ago, it's been a battle for him to go to sleep in his own room. So I say, Ashton, you have to go to sleep. And he says, let me think about it. Nope. That's exactly what he does. And then he smiles. And how can you deny that? But it came to a point, I was telling him, Ashton, go to sleep, please. And of course, he did not want to go to bed, and it was another night of this ordeal back and forth. So he told me, Daddy, why do you frustrate me? And I'm thinking, who's frustrating who? So I wanted to ask him to clarify that I'm not frustrating him, but I wanted to make a point that because of his disobedience, he brings frustration to me. So I said, who's frustrating who? And he says, Daddy, I'm not going to stop frustrating you. And this is what I began to think. If there is such a thing that we frustrate God, I'm not sure if it is or not, but what I do know that he still loves us. Even through the moments of disobedience, through the moments of frustration, through the moments when we think that the situation is not the best. And one of the questions that he asks me usually in these moments says, Daddy, will you always love me? It's a three-year-old kid that even throughout all of these ordeals, in the end, he has a question. Daddy, will you always love me? He knew in that moment that I love him then because I told him, I love you. I would embrace him. I would kiss him. I love you. And he would tell me, I love you too. And then a question follows. Will you always love me? A three-year-old kid, not knowing what the future might hold, but asking a question like that. And in our lives, there are moments when we fail, in moments when we go astray, in moments when we don't feel worthy. This might be a question for us. God, when I'm good, when I don't frustrate you, when I behave, I know that to a degree your love is there, your calling is there, your hand is there, but will you always love me? Even when I fail, will you always love me? Because those are the moments when we do not feel his love. Those are the moments at times when we feel like we are so far away from him. But I thank God that his love is always near to me and to you. And with this thought, I would like to ask you if you can turn to the Word of God, to the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 1 and down. The book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 1 and down says this. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down on the boat and taught the multitudes from there. I want to stop you for a moment. Jesus comes for sure, the Bible, at least in this passage, does not say that he had an introduction with Peter, but he began to tell Peter what to do. He invited himself into a boat. He invited himself to join Peter where he was. And then he says, let's go a little bit further because I'm on a mission to be able to speak to the people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. And this morning, I want to challenge all of us with these two words. Launch out into the deep and let down. Launch out into the depths of the love of Jesus Christ. Launch out whatever what you're holding dear, the understanding that you might have of who God is. He's deeper than everything that we can ever imagine. And whatever what we have this morning, he's calling me and you to launch out into the depth of the love of Jesus Christ and let down your nets for a catch. Because what you will catch there is the mercies of God. What you will find there is the grace of God. What you will find there is the love of Jesus Christ that has no boundaries. What you will find there is restoration, forgiveness, and the call that he has upon every believer. There is no idle people in the body of Jesus Christ. But we can serve each other. We can serve into this world with something that God has gifted us with. Verse 5. Peter's response, as usually we would respond to. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. In different words, God, I've been doing what this preacher is telling me to do for years. I've been coming to church for so long. I've been reading the Word of God for so long. I've been praying for so long. And it seems like I'm not catching nothing. I have been living this life. According to your word, I'm trying my best to do what you call me to do. But there is nothing. And the Bible says, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And this morning, I want to encourage you to act upon the word of God. Let us live this life at God's word. To say one more time, God, whatever what's going on, but at your word, I'm going to respond this morning. And I'm going to cast out everything that is trying to hold me down. And I'm going to believe you for the impossible. I'm going to believe that the depths of the love of Jesus Christ will embrace me. But God, I've tried this so long, but at your word, I'm going to do this morning. Verse 6, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was broken. Verse 7, so they signaled to the other partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sing. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. What a powerful scripture. Do you think that Jesus knew that he was a sinful man before he met him? Do you think he knew Peter before he even saw him? Of course, he is God. But in that moment, a revelation came to Peter himself of the state he was in. And the reaction in Peter's heart was, depart from me. I do not deserve your love. I do not deserve your presence. Everything within me, I've walked in disobedience. I've walked in rebellion. As a fisherman, maybe he did not have the best speech always. Depart from me because I am a sinful man.
The other day, I was here during service and I received a phone call. And I did not know who that was because I did not have that number saved. So I called the number back after service. And within a few seconds, they asked me a question. Do you know who is calling you? And I recognized the voice. A voice that here and there I've heard, but haven't talked with him probably more than 20 years. He says, Pavel, I called you by accident. I'm so sorry. I was trying to call this person and somehow I called you. And I said, no worries. There is no coincidence in the kingdom of God. But I've heard about this man. I've heard about the speech of this man lately. I've heard about the lifestyle that he has chosen. And right away, I did not ask him to open up to me, to confess or to do anything. But right away, he wanted to make sure he lets me know who he is now. He says, Pavel, I don't know if you've heard, but I've walked away from the Lord about 5 or 6 years ago. I've backslidden, and I'm just listening. And I began to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him, that it's never too late. That it's never too late to cry out to Jesus Christ, whatever where you are. I was shocked for a moment because I was told he is rejecting the gospel. There is no way you can talk to this man about Jesus Christ. He'll curse you out. And in my mind, I was hearing the voices of his friends that was telling me that. But in my spirit, I was praying, oh God, you had given me an opportunity. And little by little, I began to hear this man sobbing on the other line. He was like Peter, realizing, I do not deserve you, God. Depart from me, I'm a sinner. And one of the things he was sharing, he says, I felt the call of God upon my life. But because of different circumstances, became bitter, became hurt, and walked away and lives his own life. And can it be that it's the same story with Peter? God is revealing himself to him. And to a degree, he knows what it means to follow this. What it means to follow Jesus now. What it would mean in his life to follow the voice that he's hearing in front of him. He's saying, oh, I am a sinful man. I do not deserve you. Depart from me. It was not that he was rejecting God, but he was acknowledging who is his presence. But Jesus did not reject Peter. And I love that about the love of Jesus Christ. He did not reject him. And as I began to share with this man, that Jesus still loves you. Jesus loves you. And in the end, I said, would you give me permission to pray for you? And I took a 50-50 chance that he might say no. He paused for a second. He says, yes, you can. And I began to just pray and weep for his soul and hearing how he was weeping on the other line. I don't know his story. I don't know what is going to happen. But it was a moment that God has allowed me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are so many people that will relate to Peter or to this man. That feels like it's too late to come to God. How can God use me? My lips are filled with profanity, he's telling me. Can God really use my life? And if there is any candidate for God to empower him and to use, it's people like that. It's sinners, the lost, those who don't have it all together. That the gospel of Jesus Christ comes and transforms a person and uses for his glory. Hallelujah. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. For now, you will catch man. From now on, I have a call upon your life. From now on, your failures will not define you. but my call will define you. So when they had brought their bows to the land, they forsook all and followed him. That's the love of Jesus Christ. In different words, in reality, physically, with the physical eyes, Peter caught fish. But in spiritual world, Peter caught the love of God. Hallelujah. Throw your nets to the depths. Whatever what you have in your hand, whatever what's not working or working, and embrace the love of Jesus Christ this morning for you. And it happened when he was in a certain city that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. As the worship team comes, verse 13. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but he go and show yourselves to the priest and make an effort, offering for your cleansing as the testimony of them, just as Moses commanded. And this morning, the question to all of us, do you want to be made whole and clean? And you might say in your heart, Lord, only if you're willing, you can do this. But the response is of the Lord, I am willing and I will do this. Hallelujah. I am willing and I will do this. The Bible says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. That's the love of Jesus Christ. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read the other passages, but I will just paraphrase them. That Peter did not have it all together. If you think that Peter had it all together after that encounter with Jesus, when Jesus called him, you're mistaken. Peter was full of pride, full of man's strength, full of ideas, full of zeal for ministry, to the point that if it was up to him, he would knock people down and cut the ears of people and do all kinds of crazy stuff. Thinking, God, I'm doing all this for you to defend you. But Peter, the Bible says, began to follow a certain season in his life. He began to follow Jesus at a distance. When he did not understand fully what this call meant, when Jesus called me when I was catching fish, it was not to fight for our lives, but to lay our lives down. It's not to fight for positions, but to serve. He did not fully understand and had a revelation of who Jesus really is. It was only to a degree. And now Jesus is going to the cross. And no longer Peter is that fighter that wants to knock everybody out to protect Jesus. But to a degree, he became even a coward. And the Bible says he began to follow Jesus at a distance, and that led him to a place where three times he denied Christ. And it was around a fire. If there is anywhere I can run to get warmer, it's next to this fire. Maybe that's gonna give me a little bit of an idea what's gonna happen next. But in that moment, next to that fire, he denies Jesus three times. And he began to weep bitterly. He began to regret his decisions of saying, I don't know him. And now, after resurrection, Jesus appears to him. And he's not meeting him in the boat on the water, catching fish. But Jesus is meeting him by cooking a meal and by making a fire. I began to think about this story. When Peter saw the fire, what came through his mind? That reminds me of a failing moment in my life that reminds me of denying him. What are some things that are coming into your life? And right away your mind goes to the places where it reminds you of something that you're not proud of. Could have Jesus met him like the other time walking in the water? He could have done that. That was miraculous. That was victorious. And this is what our expectation is. Jesus, meet me when I'm walking in victory. Meet me when miraculous things are happening. But of all the things that Jesus could have met him after he failed him, it was again next to a fire to say, Jesus, I cannot get away from the things in my life. And Jesus is bringing, I believe, to a degree, a memory to him, not to beat him down, but to remind him that I am here to heal you and to remind you that I'll meet you in your weakness. I'll meet you at the fire, a similar fire that you denied me. But I'm meeting you next to this fire to feed you because you are hungry. And I don't need your fish. I'll provide supernaturally. And this is the love of Jesus Christ. This is the grace and the mercies of God. That you're never too far. It's never too late till you have breath in your lungs. Jesus desires to meet with me and with you. And our reaction would be, depart from me, depart from me. I am a sinful man or woman. But in those moments, if you would come to a person will deny you. But when you come to Jesus, he will accept you. He will embrace you. He will love you. And he will remind you of the call that you have upon your lives. Hallelujah. Later on, Peter was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And from a position of cowardice and running away and following Jesus at a distance, he died as a martyr. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's because he loved God and because he received the love of Jesus Christ in his life. He cast out his nets to the depth to catch. Physically it was fish, but spiritually it was the love of God, walking in obedience and following Jesus. Would you throw your nets to the depth to catch whatever what you need this morning? Forgiveness, grace, mercy, love, an embrace, an encouragement, a hug. In Christ, you can catch all of these things because we serve a God of abundance, a God of abundance. And because of that, there's such a joy to serve him. I pray this message encourages you. We've heard this message so many times, the stories. But I just had it so strong this week on my heart. There are people in this room that when God visits you, your reaction is depart from me because I'm a sinful man. But when he visits you and me, it's not because he wants to keep us at a distance, but it's because he wants to embrace us and remind us of what he has for us. So even though it's true we are sinners, but through Christ, through the power of the cross, we are holy, we are made whole, we are perfect. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to me and to you. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We belong to him. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells inside of us. And by God's grace, we will finish this race. We will not cower. We will not step out. We will not draw back. By God's grace, we will finish this race. Not on our own, but because Jesus Christ lives inside of me and you. He will give us the power to stand. He will give you the power to stand in front of a computer and not get defiled. He will give you the power over your words at work and not get defiled. He will give you the power to walk in victory in places where you have fallen. He will give you the power. Yes, you will come back to those fire times, to those moments where only bad things are in your mind of what has happened. But He's bringing you back to those places to remind me and you that we can walk in victory. Hallelujah. That no longer we deny Him, no longer we choose to just walk away. But the love of Jesus Christ will bring us back and remind us that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. The church of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. We have the power to walk in victory, to walk in self-control. The fruit of the Spirit belongs to us. And the Bible says, walk in the Spirit now, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Because the flesh will always want to walk at a distance, will always want to deny, will always say, woe is me. But He says, when you come to me, I'm giving you everything that you need to walk in victory. Hallelujah. And I believe that Peter grasped on that truth. And when that truth came into his life, it freed him. And he walked in power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. And for this reason, I'm going to ask you, if this word spoke to you, when God is visiting you, our reaction original would be, woe is me, I'm a sinner, depart from me. But this morning, if God is visiting you, it's because He loves you with everlasting love. And He's there to remind me and you that I am calling you to greater things. Cast out your nets to the depth of the love of Jesus Christ and catch everything that you need. Because it's offered to me and to you. And for that reason, we're going to leave this room rejoicing in a moment. Rejoicing, because He is good and His mercies endure forever. Father, You're so good. God, You're so good. My heart is filled with joy. My heart is filled with hope. My heart is filled with blessings from above. God, we thank You for who You are. And we thank You for Your promises that are yes and amen. We thank You, Lord, that when You visit us, You're not visiting us to condemn us. But God, there are moments You will convict us, and Your plan is to bring us back to You, O Father. And we thank You, Jesus, that You are good and Your plans are good and merciful to us. So Lord, we thank You that You will never cast us away. And I pray this morning that we will understand in a deeper way of Your love. And God, if You're meeting us in a certain places that will bring to our memories the times where we rejected You or we failed, Lord, it's not because You're trying to condemn us, it's because You're trying to deal with those issues and to remind us that You forgive, You restore, yes, yes, and You have a call. God, thank You, Lord. And I pray that You would fill our hearts with victory over our speech, over our action, over what we put in front of our eyes, what we listen. God, I pray that You would make us of an excellent spirit. As Your word says, that Joseph had an excellent spirit. Lord, I pray that this will be our testimony. Through the power of the cross, renew Your church, renew Your bride. Cause us to walk with shouts of joy and shouts of victory. Cause us, O Lord, one more time to lift up our hands to You and our voices to You in victory. Help us, O God, when You visit us and when You speak to us, not to say, depart from me because I'm too lost. O God, that's why You come to us, to save us and to rescue us. God, and I pray that there's people online or in this room that are feeling like Peter. I pray, oh God, that they will also have the victories of Peter. God, I pray that we will not only relate with the failures of Peter, but we will also relate with the victories of Peter. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that we will rise from those places that tries to bring us down, and that we will cast our nets in faith to catch whatever what we need, because your provision is in that water. Hallelujah. And I pray, oh Lord, that the power of the Holy Spirit will do this supernaturally in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? If this word spoke to you, I would like to give you this opportunity during the song to respond. But don't respond like Peter, depart from me because I'm a sinful man. But say, God, I am a sinful man, but thank you so much for visiting me. And through you, I'm not only a failure like Peter. I'm not only relating to Peter through what he's been through, but also I'm going to partake of the victories that Peter had. I'm going to walk in power. I'm going to walk in power. Hallelujah. So this is you, young or old, father, mother, grandmother, grandfather. It doesn't matter. We all need Jesus. We'll be praying here in a moment. So if this is you, come.